Talking about prayer, we're in section 2, number 2. Before we begin, let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our Father, for loving us, withholding nothing, so that we could be reconciled with you, that you would welcome us back and treat us as sons and daughters, even though we've rebelled against you. We thank you so much for not only wanting us to talk to you, but commanding us to talk to you, that you love us so much that you want to hear our thoughts, even though they are so insignificant compared to you and your thoughts and your ways, that our troubles, our concerns, and our minor triumphs you want to hear about. Thank you so much for this love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, I'm going to pick on Corey because he got the opening prayer. He said something that I thought was very important. And it said of to love you, to love God. When you talk to people, we have a different way of talking. We talk to our spouse different than we talk to our children. We talk to our children different. We talk to our friends. We talk to our friends differently than we talk to the people that are giving us trouble at work or anywhere else, right? We have a different tone. We have a different attitude. We use different words. And so when we speak to God, we need to think about what type of attitude we're displaying. How are we approaching Him? And just think about those things so that you're speaking to Him the way He would want to be spoken to. I'm sure your kids are completely unlike mine, but sometimes I have to tell my children, don't talk to me in that tone of voice. I'm sure you've never had to say that, right? But there's a certain way you speak to your parents, and there are certain ways that are not the way you speak to your parents. And so when we speak to God, He wants to hear every thought, every care we have. But let's make sure that we speak in a loving way, of humility as we talked about last time, and those things that we talk to God the way it is appropriate and the way He would want to be talked to. So when we think of God's response to prayer, it matters what we're praying for, but also, we have to do it with humility. So, in this section 2, we might not understand the larger implications. We can't comprehend. You know, it happens. I'm sure that there are things that you're good at. You know, and if it's a technical thing, and you go, like, one of the things I have to do is I have to go to different places if there's a problem. And usually they already know how to fix it, but for some reason they want the bald guy there. And so usually I'm this, but sometimes I actually have to do something. And it's usually some guy who's going to tell me exactly what was wrong, how what I did was wrong, and how all these other things. And he doesn't understand anything how the plant works. All he knows is if I turn this knob, happens, and if I turn this knob, this happens, and usually he's got it backwards, right? And so that's the reason I get called and I have to go there is because I'm supposed to know how to make it work, right? And sometimes we approach that way with God, right? God, we have a problem. God comes to us, we come to God in prayer, I should say, and we tell Him exactly how everything's working. We tell Him what needs to happen and what God did wrong. What is that assuming when we do that? That we know more than God, right? That we have some great understanding. You know, it's like when a scientist looked at DNA, right? The genes in our body, and they go, did you know that 60% of the DNA is junk DNA? It's completely left over from the evolutionary process. And you know what they found out? More and more of that stuff is important. It's error-correcting stuff. It's stuff that prevents cancer. It's stuff that does all these neat things. But it's so funny. We're so arrogant as people that we can look at DNA, which has 6 billion pieces of information in it, that if you stretched out these molecules, put them in, they would be 6 feet long, and you have 1 trillion copies of those in your body. And we look at the man or the being that created that, and we look at him and go, you know, you really messed this up. You just don't know what you're talking about here. And that's what we have to be careful of. We're not smart enough to determine our own paths. We can't even think of the thoughts that God has in his mind. His thoughts are so much above us. How high do you have to go to get to heaven? Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, I've never, and that's interesting, and that's the reason I love Bible classes, because we have this interaction. I've never heard someone say that this is against free will. And no, it's having the knowledge, like you said, to direct our own steps. We have the ability to decide where we go. It's just, we make bad choices, right? And so that's very, very interesting. So thank you for that. And then, so back into the Isaiah 55, how high are the heavens compared to the earth? How high do you have to go to get to heaven? Did you know when we had the Apollo space program that there were people who actually believed, based on scripture, that it was impossible for man to go to space? Yeah, the heavens belong to God, and the earth is the domain of man, so therefore it is impossible for man to go to space, right? But can you get into a rocket and go to heaven? No. And so it's this separation is infinite. And that's, again, the thought of we don't know where or how without God. Apart from God, we are fools. The beginning of wisdom is what? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The respect of God is the beginning of knowledge. So when this section says we don't understand the larger implications. So, probably not Bible study. One of the people said that they want their kids to have kids so that they will realize what it's God's like, what God has to deal with, right? You know, because you do learn a lot when you have a parent, when you're a parent in a parent-child relationship, right? Do your kids ever ask for anything that is ultimately bad for them? And have you ever tried to explain to a 3-year-old why eating candy is not the best thing for them? Have you ever tried to do that? Yeah. Maybe your 3-year-old was brilliant, but most 3-year-olds, you can't even explain it, right? And you go to a good answer, which is, because I said so, right? Sometimes you have to do that because you can't explain to a 3-year-old the great moral implications of their idea. It's just like, oh, my world's bad if I do that. My world's good if I don't do that. Okay, thanks, Mom and Dad. You know, now I understand. And so that's what it is with God, is His ways, His thoughts are so much higher than ours. So when we approach someone in conversation that is that way, what is our attitude? In Philippians 4 and 6 and 7 and all of that, we are supposed to make known what to God? All of our requests, right? With thankfulness, but we're supposed to make all these requests known to God. We don't tell Him how to fix it. See the difference? We hand God our thoughts, our cares, our concerns, and our thankfulness, and our praise, and we don't tell Him what to do with it. Yep. And it's, you know, sometimes we get caught up in trying to explain why God says certain things are right and certain things are wrong. You know, which is fine. If I understand something, it's easier for me to follow it. But we can get caught up explaining why God said to do something. Sometimes it's, if God explained it, we would still be just as in the dark. He understands all the implications and everything that we need. So, Mike Vachik, would you read Hebrews 12:6? All right. If you love your children, you discipline them, right? Is that true? If you do not love your children, and you love yourself more, you do not discipline them. You try to be a friend. You try to make everything rosy. So if you love your children, you will discipline them. Does God love us? Are there times when we are disciplined, told no, given the opposite of what we think? Right. And that's, is that okay? According to the Isaiah and Jeremiah passages, it's not only okay, it's the best for us. He knows more than we know. He is so much higher than we are. And so, sometimes, and unfortunately a lot of the time, our answer that we receive from God will be different than what we want. And there's the thought of, we need to be okay with that, because He's God. He loves us perfectly, and He knows what we need. Have you ever heard whittling on God's end of the stick? You ever heard that? Never heard. Some people hadn't heard that. Oh yeah, it's a bad thing. That's all I know, because my dad. whittling on the wrong end of the stick. Whittling on God's end of the stick. We're trying to do God's job for Him. Yes. Well, you know, when you look at the plan of my life is quite hilarious. I mean, when you really look at it, because I'm a geek. I married a geek. We had geeky plans. We were going to get married. We're going to have 3.5 children because I wanted 3. She wanted 4. She would have won. The children were going to be spaced 2 years apart. These things were going to happen, all of this. And, you know, and then I was going to get a real job, and it was going to go, you know, I was going to get a paycheck every 2 weeks, and none of it, you know, and absolutely none of that's happened. and you know, that's, you know, having children's a good thing. It's not like we were being crazy, right? You know, but God said, no. No, you're going to have one the normal way, and you're going to adopt one, and that's going to be great. Congratulations, Zane. You don't even know how many children you're supposed to have. Right? But do we learn? Are we blessed by God? And since we didn't go through it the normal way that most families do, we can help others. Right? We can talk to others in different ways. When we read in scriptures the adoptions as sons, that means something different to me. And I hopefully you understand it too, but if you have adopted a child and you see that there is absolutely no difference, that means something different. And so through our trials and through our tribulations, through the things that don't work out the way we want, we do learn something. And we're okay with God's answer of yes, no, and not now. Is that hard? Sometimes you feel like a 3-year-old. I do. But God, I want this, you know? And then we have to step back and understand He is so much different than us. Any comments on that section of God's response to prayer? All right. Let's go to the model prayer in Matthew 6. Why would I call this the model prayer instead of the Lord's prayer? Yeah, showing them how, right? Yeah, and He had other prayers, right? It's like people treat this one like you're exactly right, is this is the only one. But it's the model, it's the example, it's what they said, teach us to pray, and then pray then like this. He doesn't say, I'm going to pray, and y'all pray it for all eternity, right? Pray then like this. What does the word like mean? Similar, right? You're like, wait a second, you can't ask me to define such a simple word. Right. If you're learning to pray, you have to have a guide, you have to have a model, you have to have a template so that you can emulate that, and that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. So pray then like this in Matthew 6, verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Alright, so the first section of this is the address of God. He is addressed how in this? Our Father in heaven. Father in this means that there is what kind of relationship? A parent-child relationship. Is a parent-child relationship a loving relationship? Yes. So this is a familiarity with God. This is an appeal of a child to his father or her father. This is important. Where is God located? In heaven. And we just read in Isaiah that as far as heaven is above the earth, that speaks to the location. But this is the way he's addressed, right? If you wanted to make my dad extremely mad, call him your old man. Woo-wee. I never did it. I'm still alive. Some of my brothers did, just because they knew it really made him mad, right? And so we address people. It matters how we talk about him. So the address. What other things could be used in this? Our Father in heaven? What other words could we use? What other titles could we give God that are appropriate biblically? Our Lord? They have to be respectful. Yes, exactly. They have to do that. So, what other things? Our Creator. King. Our God, right? Our Master. All of these things talk about our relationship with Him or something like that. And they must be respectful. So, again, this is a template. You can plug in, right? When you first start off learning something, you have to follow a template. Now, we can more freeform it as we go, but this is important. And then there's praise. Hallowed be thy name. So what is hallowed? How many people use that in a sentence this week? Holy. Set apart. Set apart for a holy purpose. This is different. If you use the Lord's name in vain, are you hallowing His name? No. If every time I hit my thumbnail with a hammer, I went and I said, Dean! We're friends, I can do this. Would you think that would bother Dean? Well, probably not Dean. Dean would think it was hilarious. Just to use my name as a curse word, you know? But isn't it sad that that's what becomes of the name of the Creator of the universe or the God who died for our sins on the cross? But we would get offended by that, right? In general. You know, if every time we hit our thumb or something, we would use that. So how would be your name? There's praise. As Julie said, reading the Psalms and thinking about how to praise Him is very important. Right, we don't even know how to pronounce His name because they didn't pronounce it. Isn't that funny? Yahweh is our guess. Jehovah's a guess. We have no idea how to actually pronounce the name, the specific name that God's given because they didn't use it. Yeah, it's that respectful attitude. It's amazing that we, as a society, use that. OMG being the hilarious thing. Really? And so let's be careful with that. So, then it goes on, your kingdom come. We've been talking about the kingdom. Andrew's been presenting lessons about that. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So what, when we say your will be done, what are we saying? Yeah, guide our steps. Help us with this because we want ultimately what to happen? To please Him, to do His will. Because His will is what compared to our will? Much higher. Right? When we become a Christian, if we read Romans 6 talking about that, what's the first thing that has to happen in Romans 6? We have to die to our old self, right? Die to our own way of living, die to our own desires, and then that is supplanted or replaced by the will of God. So this is that submission. And then what Americans have trouble with, give us this day our daily bread. Have you ever been able to really pray for this? I mean, I've been in some pretty crazy financial straits, but we've always had food for that day. I was usually worried about a few weeks from now, right? So we're very, very blessed. In West Africa, we've done some work there, and Mr. Odeon, we give a stack of Naira because they're not worth anything, like this, every day. And every person that works there is paid every day at the end of the day, like you read of in the vineyard workers, because they're going to use that money to buy food so that they eat that night. You can't say, well, we'll pay you in a couple of weeks, or we'll give you a check, because they're going to use that money today to go buy food, right? And that's just the way you do it in West Africa. And yet, here we are, we worry about things. I just think it's interesting. Really, it's give us enough to make it through the day, because the evil of the day is sufficient thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow, right? And so, provision. We can ask for, you know, job. Be thankful for our jobs. Ask for help with that, of course. And then the next part we do is seeking forgiveness. How is it phrased here? What debts do we have? Sin. Right. When we sin, we become slaves to sin. We become slaves, we become sinners and those things. And so now we are asking for forgiveness of those. And what did the forgiveness of our sins cost to Jesus? His life, right? He's our Redeemer, right? He's redeemed us, he's paid our debts, and has canceled those debts, nailing them to the cross, as you read in Colossians 2. So there is this thought of being in debt to God for that forgiveness. We will continually be in debt. It's not like a ledger book, but we are in debt to Him. And then the challenge is what? To forgiven of our debts, what's the deal that God puts forth to us? You have to forgive others, right? Unmerciful servant that Randy read a couple of weeks ago, I think. We are not going to be forgiven. With the same measure we measure, it will be measured unto us. You know, from Matthew 7. All of that thought, we have to be forgiving people if we would like to ask for that. And then we ask for deliverance from evil. What does that mean? Right, there's two ways. That can be protection or wisdom, removal of that. Mm-hmm. Right. We played football. Yeah. I know it's hard to believe, but in seventh grade, we put on all these pads, right? The first time you're ready, right? Everybody goes out and the coaches say, no contact until we get out there. I think the coaches are watching, right? Because of course, what do a bunch of, 13-year-old boys go out to the field and the first thing they do is two kids run full speed and they hit each other. And then they realize, wow, that hurts. And it's hilarious, the look on their face, I remember. Yeah, you're just like, yeah, a guy named Lonnie Drews was just like, whoa. But we get cocky. We think we can handle the world, right? But what a wise person says is deliver us, protect us from this, show us the way out. Please help us in this. And that's the humility that we have and should have in talking with God and doing that, and to go through our lives is this: deliver us from evil, lead us away from temptation, protect us from temptation, from the standpoint that we are concerned about following Him and don't want more opportunities to mess up. So when the world looks at this model prayer, how do they often look at it? The prayer they need to pray. What about rote prayer or memorized prayer? What's the problem with that? Yeah, it's just words. You memorize it. Could you imagine if, you told your spouse you love them and then they pull out a piece of paper? Yes, I love you very much. You're very important to me. You are my light, my shining stars and the sun in the sky. Thank you very much for loving me. Would you feel just warm and tingly? Is that what you want to see? Yeah. Oh, wait. Excuse me, honey. I got my romantic card here. Hark, what light through yonder window breaks? 'Tis the east and you are my sun. We don't want that. And God doesn't want that. Yeah, but there can be vain repetition and there can be... We can say the same things, right? Normally when we say something to our spouse, it follows the same basic form, but if we mean it every time, if it's sincere, then that's good, and that's what it should be. But we need to make sure that we're not going into vain repetition. You know, there are a lot of... Go ahead. Oh, no. No, if... Right. Being prepared and being rote memorization, right. If it's important, we're going to prepare for it, right? My cousin's son committed suicide at 35. I think it was 35 or 36. And it's a horrible thing, right? So I wrote the prayer down that I prayed for her and her family, and I sent it to her. And I felt wrong with that, right? Because you're writing it down, you know, and it should be, you know, from the heart, but it was from the heart. And that, so we have that. My brother, his future son-in-law was going to ask for his daughter's hand in marriage, and he was prepared to give him a hard time, right? But the boy comes out and he's trying to unfold the paper, and he's shaking. Mr. Rhodes, I really love your daughter. And he was so nervous and so sincere. He said, by the end, I was crying, he was crying. I just hugged him and said, welcome to the family. It was written down. He had prepared it. He had practiced it. But with all the sincerity of heart, he presented that to my brother. And so preparation means that you care. Thinking about how to pray means that you care, that you want to talk to God in a way that is respectful and loving. So all of these things are important. It's when we do the rote memorization. Right. Well, when Jesus prayed all night, or when he prayed in the garden, he prayed the same exact thing. And so saying the same thing over and over and over again, we're praying with sincerity and everything else, we are going to repeat ourselves, because really the things I worry about, the things that I struggle with, seem to be the same thing all the time. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about how I'm going to handle myself at work. I'm worried about being a good father. I, you know, worry about making the best decisions for the family. And these have been the same thing for the last 20 years. But it's the difference is the vain part of it. And so, yeah, we can say the exact same thing with sincerity. Just like I say, I love you to my wife, pretty much the same way I've said it for the last 27 years, right? But I mean it. Right? Of course, sometimes she goes, you say you love me kind of like it's a fact. I love you. There's no emotion. It's just a fact. It's 2 + 2 = 4. No. I mean, that's the man part of me, right? But we have that, and so we need to make sure that we're presenting our thoughts, cares, and concerns to God. If we're doing that, vain repetition is not going to be a problem, even if we use the same words. And we should prepare. We should practice, and we should try to learn by listening to others pray and evaluating how we can make our prayer life more pleasing to God. It's a skill that can be learned, as the disciples here were asking for. Any closing comments on that model prayer? All right, we'll begin there next time. Thank you for your comments.